We're in the Epistle to the Ephesians. And we are in the fourth chapter, and at the moment looking at a section from verses 17 to 24. And the verses that I'd like to look at this morning, I'll read to you. They are verses 22, 3, and 4. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if you want a brief summing up of that text, to bear it in mind, that you put off the old man and put on the new. Now I'll later explain that. That's really the theme. The main theme that we have here is one of renewal. I'm taking you into, and have been for the last few weeks, the biblical teaching of renewal. Now, for a long time, we have been looking at revival, which is for the corporate body, for the church, churches, a land, and God in mighty power moves, and in his time, and it is his prerogative. But now we are looking at renewal. Renewal is a normal Christian thing. It is something that should be going on all the time. It is closely related to sanctification. It is a very exercising thing, and yet also a very exciting one as well. We're looking ahead in these chapters from chapter 4, verse 17, right through 4, right through chapter 5, into chapter 6, and right up to verse 9. There are lots of verses there. There are many lessons. And always we might daunt and say, however will I go along that way? However will I manage? And so God, in his mercy, has granted the apostle particular verses here under teaching, and that he is concerned that we should start in the right way. That's why we have be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think straight. Think spiritually. So we start there. Last week, if you remember, I referred to a little illustration that we are very often as dimmed lights. We are to be, as believers now, as lights of the world. And what is a dimmed light? Well, a dimmed light does show light, but doesn't expose darkness, but gently compromises with the shadows and the blackness of darkness. And that kind of Christian, and he is a Christian, will never offend and is acceptable to the unbeliever. And so much so that the believers sometimes think that this is the way. This is the way. Let's have gentle lights. Let's have dimmed lights. This is the way. Unbelievers like me, but I challenge anybody here, either in your own experience or in the experience of any believer, that no one came from the grip of Satan to eternal life through the sin of a Christian. Never. He may have come for a period to delusion, but never to eternal life. Let your light so shine forth that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now that is what we are talking about. Renewal then is not a popular jumping about. Renewal is an exercising of the soul and the applying of the means of grace until sometimes we ache with the pain of it and yet rejoice with the delight of it. It is sanctification. It is going on with the things of God, shining brightly. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, this few verses that we have here show a great concern in the heart of the apostle. He's burdened. He's so burdened that I feel that the pen in his hand is heavy. His heart aches. He is writing to a very fine church. Beautiful people. Beautiful. A knowledgeable people in the grace of God. It hurts him to write. You can almost feel the agony in the words. He says in verse 20 about their behavior, and he's used some verses which I'll come to again in a moment. But you have not so learned Christ? What's wrong? Dimmed lights. Below par. But you have not so learned Christ? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that is, a Christian should be different. Our blessed Saviour said these words as well. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now then, there's an if here. And let's treat this if very carefully. First point that I have for you is this. Redeemed in Christ. Now, are you redeemed? And am I redeemed? Well, we can all, I think, readily bring the meaning of redemption, and we know it is a threshold of it all. There is no hope of heaven. There is no hope of the forgiveness of sins. There is no hope of everlasting life and glory and peace with God unless we have come to an experience of the redemption which is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know what this means. And there are plenty of verses that I read, and I shall never tire of reading them. In this epistle alone, verse 7 in chapter 1, you know it off by heart. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And in chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And then verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The straight gate, a narrow, narrow entry. Now this is a problem. Why does he say it? You'll find many people around that gate. And I have found it, as a human being, well nigh impossible when people just hover around the gates. Just hover. Now, I know it is true, never further than thy cross, never higher than thy feet. We're always mindful of how we came and what we were delivered from. But we go through that entry to go along a narrow way. And I am told in Scripture that very few walk that way. Now then, who is to know if a person is on the right side of that gate unless he's walking the narrow way? Who is to know? He may be on the wrong side and singing redemption songs, saved by grace. He may enjoy those words and delight in the hearing of the gospel. And yet there is no progress, no sanctification. Still the root of bitterness, still criticism, still all these things, worldliness and worldly Christianity, and so on and so on and so on. Then the one is on the right side of the gate, and he has been saved. And God alone knows, for we don't. And he's on the right side of the gate. But not one step does he seem to take along the narrow way. What do you think? What if we had a church of them? What do you think? You might say, well, some are all right, and some are not. I want evidence, don't you? I want evidence in my own life. And you want evidence in yours. But you say, it's all right being saved, but I like looking through the gate at the broad way. The way is too narrow for me. How can you be sure that you came through unless you walk the narrow way? It's narrow, and it's narrow all the way. All the way. That's why he's saying, if he is writing to Christians in your theology inside out. You can gather from the epistle to the Ephesians, and he's writing this to them because they could understand it. There is a wealth of redemption. There's the walk of sanctification. There's a spiritual warfare. All are there. And so he's writing to a people who have understanding. Yet he says, if we have heard, and if we have been taught. Now why is he saying if? Look again at these terrible verses, 18 and 19, spoken to believers, or if believers. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, to the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. That isn't what I taught you. That is not the way that I spoke about when I was amongst you. Ye have not so learned Christ. And so he goes on in verse 21 to say, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. What he's saying, bestir yourselves. Gird up the loins of your mind, says Peter. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, says Paul. Now then, bestir yourself to this. Why? Ye are the redeemed of the Lord. Now if ye are the redeemed, you'll be able to move. And if you are on the wrong side of that gate, you won't be able to move until you come through by repentance and faith. But if you are on the correct side of that gate of faith and redemption in Christ, then move as the truth is in Jesus. Move and show spiritual progress. How fares your soul? Second point, renewed in Christ. See, this word renewal is bandied about today. The scriptural teaching of renewal is a personal thing and a very searching thing. And it is related so closely to sanctification that they are like this. How can we be sanctified unless we have been renewed daily? Renewed in Christ, made new. He says, now how shall I begin? Well, I'll take you to another verse by the apostle. For ye are bought to the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do that. Or these verses that came to me in chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is your reasonable service. So what he's saying is that as a Christian now, as a redeemed person, you have the ability to think straight. You have the ability to think spiritually. And it's no use saying, oh, that's too much for me, that's too involved for me, that's theological, that's nonsense. Or, I don't want to pay such a cost as that. That's nonsense. Because we are told now to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, yet God will help us. For it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yet we've got to think it through. Think. And think spiritually. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we are capable of it. From the youngest and the simplest Christian here to the person who may think he's the maturest and most knowledgeable Christian. Think. And think spiritually. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And don't go for the dolly mixtures of today, but go for the great things of God. Is that clear? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now then, am I willing? Because it hurts. We live in an age that doesn't want to think. We live in an age where it would rather be, well, just have something exciting. We live in that kind of age. I'll give you an example. The lovely old ancient denominations in our little country, New Times of Revival. There was great preaching and there was great singing. Then slowly, over the decades and generations of people, it faded. A liberal theology took over. And at first they didn't preach it. They just left out the positive. The people didn't see the difference. It seemed to be kind of orthodox, seemed all right. And before long, the older people died out. They had no teaching to be able to communicate to the middle-aged and to the young. And we knew that the old people had got something. But they still hung on to one thing. If you announced in any area in Wales a Gymanfa Ganu, if you don't know what that means, you ought to, it's a singing festival. Oh, they could sing. And sing. But believe? No. The straight gate? Never. The blood of Christ? Never. The narrow way? Not on your life. But how they could sing, to our shame as a nation. You see, we like the sweetmeats. Yes, it's a singing that's praising God. It's a singing that comes from the hearts. It isn't always melodious even. Doesn't matter if it's out of tune as far as I'm concerned. So long as it's from the hearts. From the hearts. Where are we? We stop thinking. When we do excitable things, we stop thinking, and the call is back. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There will come a time, my friend, when you and I have to face God. We have to face him. My little voice will long be finished, and many a change will be in the pews here as well. But one by one we'll have to face God. And if we are redeemed, that is wonderful. Then there is the day of Christ and our life in grace is examined. And I tremble at the thought of the displeasure of God if I have not well used the grace that brought me to glory. Do you see it? Well use it. The call today in this godless age we are living in is for holy men and women who are different by their very lives. Now, these are searching chapters, I confess, and I don't blame you if you cannot bear to come to another one. I do not blame you in a way. And yet, we would be full of blame if we were not willing to learn. Reformed in Christ. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a secret, and I want you to listen with your heart and your soul and your mind and every bit of you, because this is the key. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then he leads us to a teaching that I find when I present it to Christians that most will dismiss. They don't want it. Not today. Now listen to it. It's a teaching of the old and the new man and the flesh. That is what went wrong in Corinth. They allowed the flesh to take over. Carnal Christianity. Yes, so Christians, well, somewhere, who's to say? God alone knows. Who's to say? Carnal Christianity. Now, what is the teaching that can help me then? Now, let us begin with the flesh. The unbeliever is made up in this way. The flesh and the inner man, which is the old man. The believer is made up in this way. The flesh and the inner man, which is the new man. Is that clear? The unbeliever, the flesh, and the inner man, or the old man. The believer, the flesh, and the inner man, which is the new man. I want everyone to understand. This is the flesh. It is not to be understood, I'm reading now from a book of doctrine, not to be understood in a merely material sense, for it indicates the human constitution with all its faculties and energies, mental as well as muscular, perceptive as well as practical. The flesh, not only the muscles, but the mental, not only the perceptive, also the practical, the flesh. Then the inner man, me, my innermost being, the depths of my existence. And in the unbeliever, it's called the old man, and in total sympathy with the flesh. Then grace intervenes. And what happens? Well, we know of the forgiveness of sins, and we know of everlasting life. But what is this radical change that takes place? Listen to Romans 6, that I read to you in a verse, I think it was about verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Where? With Christ. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over us. Now then, I shall have to use an illustration. No illustration will take it all the way, but it helps, and the verses take us all the way. Nevertheless, we need to be helped. Our blessed Savior used parables. It's the same thing. Now then, I want you to imagine an office block of one firm. And there is the name of the office block. Shall we call it ABC? ABC. Then, in brackets, underwritten by Satan. That is, all its great resources and all its ways of thinking were influenced by Satan. Using his influence carefully, cleverly. There. If you look at the office, it's nothing much to it. It used cheap paint, has some kind of gaudy appearance. Corruption there, there's lust there, there's deceit there, there's cruelty there, there's everything there. You go around all the rooms and you'll find the lot there. Then one day you're amazed. Something has happened. You see, Apostle, first of all, under new management. Now, the manager before was in total agreement with Satan, and the whole office block was in total agreement with him. So, under new management. Now, without loss of identity, we have to use the same manager, you see. Comes to the office one day. He's new. He's so new that they might say, "Where's the old chap we knew?" You could say, "Crucified. Crucified with him." He is new. Without loss of identity, he is new. But he's still got to contend with his staff and their rooms and the way the flesh has got so accustomed to. Now then, this is the situation. The old man is crucified, dead, finished with. The new man is there, and we're under new management. Great resources, underwritten now and overwritten and written every side by God and the resources of God. And so we begin to see a difference in this office block. We find that they start to give it a better appearance. And some walls have to come down, some have to be put anew. And some rooms have got to be cleaned out thoroughly and redecorated, and a lot of filth taken out. It's a very big office block. It takes time. It takes a lifetime. That's the flesh. It takes a lifetime. But whilst we live, this new man must assert his authority by divine commission to clean up the rooms. No place dark. There will always be problems. You think you've finished one room and you'll find dust settled there again. The dust settling in some of your rooms. So now we have this to contend with. The new man is the new you. Passioned after righteousness and holiness, after God himself, and delighting in the things of God. Yet still in this office block, still in this flesh. Muscular and mental, practical and perceptive, still in this office block, still in this flesh. And now the battle is where? Not between the old and the new man. The old man is dead, but the new man and the flesh. So when you behave badly, don't hide behind the excuse, "So that's the old man in me." It's the flesh. It's a dirty room. A dusty room in your life. And let's be quite clear about it. And you and I have the resources. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now then, how does he put it here? Now let me read it carefully to you and present it to you. He says here that he put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Does this mean that this is going on all the time? No, it does not mean that. But I will explain to you what it is saying. Now, this is, I've read this not on my own illustration, but it is a helpful one as far as I'm concerned. And supposing now that you see a man of about 30 years of age, and that he is strong, and that he is capable, and he's an intelligent person, and he is a person that has a nice personality, a good personality as well. And you find him pouting, and you find him wasting away his life. You find him not applying himself to studies and to getting on in his work. And you find him behaving so foolishly. And if anybody says something, he's offended and he pouts and he walks out of the room. So what do you say to that man? Don't be a baby. Be a man. He is a man. Isn't he? He is a man. Yet you say, don't be a baby. What are we saying? Don't behave like a baby, because there's nothing so ridiculous as seeing a grown man with a dummy. Don't be a baby. So that is the extreme language that the apostle is using here. He's saying that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be what you are in Christ. And that he puts on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now that is our position. Are we being what we are in Christ? Vast resources. The ability to give until it hurts, of our time and of our money, the ability to forgive even when we prefer not to forgive, the ability to encourage when we are a little jealous maybe, the ability to be gracious, the ability to speak well of one another, the ability to be a people without guile. I'm going to ask you a question here this morning, my dear friends, and I include myself. Am I? Are you here this morning without guile? We should be. We should be without guile. Do you know what guile is? Shady work. Dust in one of the rooms. Take your duster out, the duster of grace. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and have a clean up. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Then, you see, we can look at the remaining verses. Then, because now we have a realization that we are new in Christ. Now we have a knowledge that we are able, by the grace of God, to live this life and to walk this narrow way, this newness of life, this life, as it says in this context, the life which is in God after righteousness and holiness. May God give every one of us, may he give me, may he give you grace to walk this way and bring us one day to glory. Let us pray. Father, we come to thee in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We ask thee to help us. Thy word often exercises us, but only in order that we might glorify thee. And when we glorify thee, then we are happy. Then make us, O Lord, a happy people, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.